And 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good.
Pretty much the same as about 5 minutes ago when we recorded our last episode.
Yeah, and also about 30 seconds ago when we started over again.
Yep. This is take two. Moving on.
It's hard to punch when we do two.
It's hard to record two. Talking is difficult.
It is.
It honestly wears you out in ways that you would not expect.
Thinking is also pretty hard.
Thinking is hard. It is also the end of a day, of a pretty long week. Of a pretty long month, of a fairly long but probably not long enough life.
We're just happy to be here with you today.
We are happy to. I'm really excited about this episode.
Oh, good. I am too.
One thing I do want to say first, though, is that we got a review on iTunes from a person we don't know.
It's not our moms?
It's not either of our moms, unless my mom has, like, gotten, a fake account. I think if she did that, though, she would leave multiple ones.
It's not your mom, though.
It's not my mom.
No.
It is a woman presumably named Cheryl, because her screen name is certainly Cheryl, which mayhaps the lady protests too much. Maybe her name isn't Cheryl. I don't know. But it's a very sweet, very nice review. And I just wanted to give her a shout out.
Yeah. Thanks, Cheryl. We love you. Yeah. That was super kind of you. And
really
it made our days.
Yeah. Really appreciate that we do not know you at all, although we would love to know you. I'm sure you seem like a lovely person because you have good taste in podcasts. And just thanks for leaving a review. And if anybody else wants to leave a review, maybe on iTunes or other places where you can review podcasts, maybe we'll shout you out too. Leave a review, damn it. Come
Please
on.
Let's do it. Oh, God, we need it
just,
so bad.
God, we need validation.
We just need it. Oh, we weren't hugged enough.
Anyway, shall we start the show?
Yeah, let's start the show. Let's talk about Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay, but before we do that, we have to do the thing.
That's right. Shit, we do have to do the thing. Oh, man.
One day we'll get this right. No, never will. We never will.
But I'm Aaron Ridge. Wait, no, do you start?
It doesn't matter.
We're going to cut this part out.
No,
we're
not.
We're going to make it seem seamless.
No, we're not.
We'll see how long this episode gets.
Okay. I'm Jason Apple.
And I'm Aaron Ridgway, and this is Traumatized, a podcast where we rewatch the children's movies and TV shows that horrified us as kids and reexamine them in the cold light of adulthood.
And today we are talking about an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation called The Game. It's so good. Star Trek was like, The Next Generation particularly, was a big deal for me. And I know this is hard to imagine, kind of a nerd.
No.
No, I loved Star Trek The Next Generation. And pretty much watched it religiously. And this is an episode from season 5, episode 6. And I love this episode. Like, I remember it very, very clearly. And it definitely gave me, like, the funny feelings, sometimes, and probably nightmares, because it is a very disturbing premise. But it also stars Wesley Crusher, who played by the great Will Wheaton. Obviously, the character I most identified with in the show, because he's, like, the kid, and I watched this in 1991 when it came out, and so, you know, you identify with this character. And he's, like, the hero of the day, and he gets the girl, and he saves the Enterprise against some very freaky, freaky happenings.
Right. And I also have some feelings about Star Trek The Next Generation, because it was also a show I loved, because, believe it or not, I was a bit of a nerd.
You don't say.
I know, it's weird. But it was also a show that my dad liked a lot, so he and I would watch it together.
Gotcha.
And it was a real sort of family crowd pleaser because it was on, like, Fox 21 in South Carolina on Sunday afternoons, like, all day. And my grandma didn't have cable, and we spent a lot of time on the Sundays with her. So, mm-hmm. like, my dad and my brothers and I could all agree that, yeah, we can watch Star Trek The Next Generation, which
right.
even to this day, is a very comforting show for me. But you're absolutely right that for a show that was a good family, like something everyone can agree on, everyone can enjoy, had some pretty freaky stuff. And I do not recall this episode, but I watched it this morning and whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What's crazy too is, and reminds me like how much I love the show is like when the intro started, when like not the cold open, but the actual title sequence, I got goosebumps.
Me too.
Oh my God. I'm really excited to talk about this one. So the premise of this episode is that basically Commander Riker, Jonathan Frakes, is on shore leave on some planet. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, these aren't recognizable Star Trek aliens.
No, but he's boning some alien tail, as he is wont to do pretty much every time he's on shore leave.
Yeah, like, he takes on kind of that Captain Kirk, like, bone any alien that wiggles.
Yeah, he is a horny boy. He is a horny boy, and this is, like, I think not the first time that he's hit some of that strange alien strange. And his E.T. slam piece, I believe her name is Etana, and she's a member of the Qatari race. Mm-hmm.
I think it's Qatari, yeah.
It doesn't matter at all.
I feel like it's probably K apostrophe T-A-R.
No, it's just K Atari.
Then there's like a bunch of I's.
She's a member of the Qatari race.
Let's go with that.
And she introduces him to this game. And it's like this weird kind of VR thing that you put over your eyes and it shoots a little laser into your eyes. And then you try to get a disc into a cone in this like little VR world. But what happens when you get the disc in the cone is you basically come in your pants.
Remind me that later in this conversation, we should talk about that scene in the elevator.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it like stimulates the pleasure center in your brain, and then you just see whoever's playing the game just like periodically go just like.
It's so weird. Ridiculous.
It's so weird.
And I will say that TNG, like the graphics hold up pretty good.
Pretty good, but not this. Not the game. No, it does not. It's so badly composited. It looks like it's like just. It looks like it's played on an Atari.
It does. Yeah.
So, but then, you know, like, so once you get the one disc in the hole, then you can move on to two discs and two holes, which is sounding about as suggestive as I mean it to be. So, at this point, Riker returns to the Enterprise with the game. He's been on shore leave, he's come back, and where the gang, the team, is starting an entirely too complicated mission for us to describe, even if we could.
Oh, I'm not even sure what they were doing.
I have no idea. It was like some sort of science mission. It's like a big deal, and it's all fucked up. So a lot of stuff's going on in engineering, though. And this is where we're introduced to guest star Ashley Judd as mission specialist Robin Loeffler.
And she's so beautiful.
She's real pretty.
And she's...
She still is real pretty.
Oh, yeah. Ashley Judd just gets prettier.
She's timeless.
And she...
But she's, like, pretty young in this. She's, like, probably in her, like, early 20s.
Right, and she's meant to have been a very recent graduate at the Academy because she still has friends there, and we find that out because Wesley Crusher, who is kind of... Can we take an aside to talk about Wesley?
Please.
So Wesley clearly was there to be kind of the youth surrogate. Like he was there to bring younger people into the Star Trek world, I feel like.
Oh, totally.
You know, give kids like you to have someone to identify with and to give kids like me someone who's a big nerd, someone to be like, oh, Wesley's cute. And I guess that's maybe a little sexist, internalized sexism there. But I can't do math. It's not a girl thing. It's an Aaron thing. And I do not ever fancy myself being able to drive a starship because it's way outside my
purview. It's always funny, like, the breadth of knowledge that characters from Star Trek have. Because, like, Wesley knows everything. He knows, like, everything about a starship. He knows everything about the human brain because they end up going to sick bay and, like, figuring out what this game does to you. And then, you know... Captain Picard talks about, like, how while he was at the Academy, he failed organic chemistry over a girl. And it's like, on what fucking world does a starship captain need to know organic chemistry?
I don't know entirely what organic chemistry is. I do. but not entirely. Like, I know my brother had to take it to get into medical school, but...
Yeah, but that's not Starship Captainry.
No, it's not. So I... back to Wesley, though. He was widely hated.
By real Trekkies.
People who watched it. I still don't... I mean, I guess he's kind of annoying because he's a bit of a know-it-all and maybe a little too, like, Mary Stu or Larry Stu or whatever they call fanfic OT, like, original characters that are too perfect.
Yeah.
Or know too much. But I never thought he was annoying or worthy of all the hate that he got.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like... You want to tear down things that are great about shows that you love, like, just because
nerds need to hate.
Because nerds need to hate.
Yeah,
I totally understand that, but just keep your hands off my Wesley.
Agreed. Anyway, back to the Starship Enterprise.
Back to Starship Enterprise. Riker and Troy. If you don't know the characters, I'm not going to explain
it. We can't help you.
We can't help you. Just like skip this episode. Come back next week. So they have a very sexy conversation about hot fudge sundae.
I do. I mean, I've always shipped Riker and Troy.
I don't know what that is. That.
Oh, sorry. I always they were always my like preferred romantic coupling.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, well, and they were together for some time, but they have this very it's a very awkward, odd conversation to be having about chocolate frosting. But Riker basically tells her that he brought something back from the planet. And surprisingly, it was not VD.
He's kind of winking at her, too, because she does this whole, like, you get the feeling they're hooking up, because she does this whole sexy description of her ice cream, where she's like, first you have to scrape the chocolate off the sides, and then you smooth the ice cream with your back of your spoon and lick it off. And it's this very sex talk while you're not talking about sex scene. Yeah.
Well, let me show you this eye dildo I got on Risa. How about that?
And nobody can stop talking about that eye dildo.
Yeah, no, everybody is... he's basically trying to get everybody hooked on the game. He, like, tries to get Geordi hooked on the game.
Which is creepy. There's something really creepy about, like, let me... Hey, have you heard about the Clit Blaster 5000?
I have, actually. I have four of them.
Do you want to borrow it? Like, let me check. Let me show.
No, I think he's replicating these with the
replicator. Yeah. Right.
But so Wesley arrives on the Enterprise. He's on vacation from the Academy. And this is also interesting because, like, this is season 5. Wesley has been, Will Wheaton's been gone for, like, at least one season. And now he's back. Like, this is his one episode back this season, I'm pretty sure. I did not do anything to verify with that information, but this is what I remember.
Well, it is definitely kind of an event.
It's, like, a special event to have him back in the real world and in the world of the show.
Yeah, everybody's happy to see Wesley.
Because then they throw him a surprise party. And Worf baked him a cake.
Which is a weirdly, like... I don't remember everything about the characters in Star Trek, but I do not remember Worf being particularly nurturing, nor do I want to eat Klingon food.
It was not a Klingon cake. It was like some other planet's cake that Worf somehow knows how to make. But he made a cake. That's sweet.
It's adorable. It's a good bake, Worf.
Totally adorable. And so Wesley's on vacation, but of course he volunteers to help with this mission to do whatever they're doing. And then so he meets Leffler, and he flirts with her.
And she flirts right back.
So at this point, Dr. Crusher, Wesley's mom, calls Data to the sick bay. At which point she, like, stabs him in the back with something and deactivates him.
Right. It's her, Troy, and Riker are all there taking
Data out. Yeah. And they do some sort of, like, surgery on the back of his head. And they've obviously been taken over by something, presumably this game.
This is something that happens on Star Trek The Next Generation quite a lot. You see, and probably the original Star Trek too, I'm racking my brain a little bit, but it's very alarming to have your crewmates turn on you.
Your beloved characters.
Well, especially when you're in an enclosed space where there's no escape.
Yeah.
And that's something that happens all the time. All the time somebody's getting taken over by the Borg, getting assimilated, like...
Totally.
I also want to say that when Wesley gets, and I guess that this kind of bubbles some of the weirder, winky stuff in Star Trek to the surface, but when Wesley gets off the ship, they're like, do you want to take a nap, spend some time in the holodeck? And I'm like, did they just ask Wesley? Like, the holodeck has got to be 90% used for, like, sex reasons.
I don't think that that's really...
I don't think that's what they're asking him, but that's what I took what from you, it.
Right.
Where they're like, do you need to release some tension in the holodeck?
I feel like they think that the holodeck is like video games almost. Like, so or they're like basically TV. Asking a teenager if he wants to take a nap and play video games. And it's like, well, duh.
Yeah, I'm a teenager. Except I'm Wesley Crusher point.
And I'm like the highest achieving teenager ever. So no, I want to work on the stupid science mission.
Oh, dumb.
This is where I understand why people are like, he's such a goody-goody. You know, it's like, yeah, but whatever. At this point, Wesley walks in on his mom playing the game, which is so awkward.
It's amazing. Oh, I hate it.
Her hair is all must.
And her eyes roll back in her head.
She's kind of sweaty, and she's really embarrassed. But she tries to convince him to play the game. She's like, oh, this is actually for you, but I couldn't. It's so much fun, I couldn't stop using it. And Wesley's like, take that back. Mom. No, thank you.
Could you at least wipe this off? This reminds me of the time I get addicted to playing Snood in college.
Yeah.
Or I was, like, dreaming of Snood.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a real problem. They called it Snood syndrome. Snood sleep.
Snooding for short.
It's called a snood sleep disorder.
Oh, boy.
SSD. Anyway.
Maybe that's why I failed statistics.
Wesley's like, no, I don't have time to play this game. I got a date with a real woman. I don't need this your fleshlight that you're offering me, Mom. And so he's got a date with Leffler. And this is actually a really good scene, I thought, because she's being very pushy about the game, but she's also kind of playing it off. It's like, but I miss you. I want to spend time with you.
I want to watch you masturbate with my game.
Yeah. And he's being like kind of like a stroppy teenager, but he's starting to get an inkling that something's wrong, even though it's like, it's still within the realm of like, sort of makes sense. At their date, Ashley Judd is wearing just this amazing, hilarious salmon colored dress that like also has like, was that a, like, neck choker thing?
Well, it's a choker neck top, which hilariously is very in fashion right now.
Yeah.
Like, I have a few of them.
But this actually has, like, scales on it.
Yeah, and she's wearing some leggings with it, too.
And she's wearing some leggings, and it's... Honestly, it just... It tickles me.
It's a hilarious outfit.
It's a hilarious outfit.
And it's weirdly, like, early 90s prom dress, but futuristic.
It's like a bias cut too, right? Uh-huh. Like it's like not like a straight bottom.
Yeah, it's like a sweetheart neckline. It's a bananas costume.
It's hilarious. And Wesley's like wearing a sweater and his communicator because he can't let it go.
It's like, his communicator, he's like a guy who wears a cell phone on his belt.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what
he's
doing.
That's who Wesley Crusher
He's doing
is.
The 25th century version of that. But otherwise, the date is going pretty good.
Oh, he's crushing it.
Yes.
They're that, that's vibing.
Actually, they actually, that term was developed for him.
she's a total nerd, too.
Yeah. So she's got all like, these laws.
Uh-huh, she's like, Law 57, you know, things aren't always going to go as planned.
Yeah, Law 56, I'm not putting out on the first date.
She, that's one of Loeffler's laws.
Yeah.
She also... I guess has kind of, it's implied that she's heard about him from her friends at
the academy.
Yeah. And they've been, I guess that they maybe think that they'd be a good couple.
Mm.
And she, because it seems like she's planting things.
Yeah. Well, she,
like she keeps talking about his birthmark.
Right.
Like, where's this birthmark? Does he have, like, 666 carved into his chest or something? She's making a big deal out of it.
He has a everybody knows Wesley Crusher has a superfluous third nipple.
I was going to say a superfluous second dick.
No, that is not canon. And you cannot make it so.
Make it so, number one.
So then they start talking about the game. And you sort of spot some chick playing at the bar, and they're just like, it's so weird. She's just, like, staring off into space and shivering.
It's totally weird. You know what it's like? That Black Mirror episode where they have the grain in their ear, and they can watch memories?
Yeah.
She's kind of got that vacant look of, like, someone, it's distressing.
It's very distressing to just watch somebody just sort of, like, stare off into space and, like...
And drool a little.
So they think this is all very weird, and they want to know more about this game. So they decide to test it in sickbay, as all true nerds do. And they basically discover that, like, they hook it up to some machine that tells them what it would do to them. And it discovered that it boosts serotonin and is, like, psychotropically addictive. It's basically ecstasy. And so it's like a cross between...
Topical.
It's like a cross between a dildo and ecstasy. But it also, like, lowers your higher reasoning functioning and thus, I think, makes you more...
Suggestible.
Suggestible, yeah. So Wesley goes to talk to the captain, which is his first port of call in basically any scenario.
Because he's a tattletale wiener goody two-shoes.
Yeah. But he tells Picard about the whole thing, and Picard's like, I'll start an investigation. And then when Wesley leaves him, he immediately turns around and puts the game back on. So he's already...
He's already been assimilated.
Yeah, he's already been compromised. Man, poor Picard.
Yeah.
This just keeps happening to him.
Poor Picard.
So he goes back to the bar, Wesley does, and everybody in the bar now is playing this game except for Robin and him.
You know what's weird? The two teens managed to avoid the masturbation machine.
This is, and the drugs.
Right.
Which is, I have a theory on this, which I'll get to.
Well, it kind of makes me want to shove them into a locker.
Like for like, what is that, like 8 minutes in heaven or...
No, separate lockers.
7 minutes? It's 7 minutes.
Even as nerdy as 7 minutes, even as nerdy as I was and am, they're like, oh, fuck you. They're the kids who tell the teacher she forgot to assign homework.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So they're at the bar, and this is when they realize how odd it is and how coincidental that Data got knocked out of commission right when the game got introduced to the ship. Because he's obviously the only person who would resist the pleasuringness.
Right. Of it. Like, if you don't know, and again, if you don't know, why are you listening? Data's an android.
Right.
So one of the endearing things about Data is he doesn't always understand why people do things.
Right.
Like jokes.
And he's trying to learn.
Yeah.
Although Data can have sex.
Sure.
Yeah. So he must understand pleasure. Like, I don't know. It's inconsistent. The one thing that I don't honestly get is why Geordi is susceptible to this.
I also want to know this because Geordi is blind.
It's never addressed.
So, but you know, his visor allows him to see, but I don't know if it allows him to see in a sighted person sees. It doesn't,
I think. And like, if this game works through your like optical nerve and into your optical cortex, like none of that shit works.
Yeah, I also think that that's something they were hoping we wouldn't ask questions about.
Well.
But we're asking them.
Too bad, TNG writing room. We got your number. Not your actual number. That show's been over for many years, and I don't know how I would track any of you guys down. But answer my questions, please.
Please.
So they realize that Data has been compromised and sabotaged, and... They realize that only Dr. Crusher and Geordi could have done this. They're the only people who know enough about Data. And thus you realize that there's a big conspiracy.
Right.
Cut to the bridge. A ship has just pulled up and the captain orders everybody to replicate a bunch more of the games and send them to the ship and to go get Wesley on board with the program at this point. And you realize that this ship is piloted by Riker's Slampiece. The... Atari woman.
Right.
And she instructs them that she wants them to spread this game to a bunch of other starships and to the academy and, like, basically throughout Starfleet. So Wesley returns to engineering and realizes that they've gotten Robin. Like, she's...
Question.
Yeah.
Is this before or after he has this elevator scene with that woman?
I think that's right when it is. Okay. So let's do the elevator scene.
Where he gets on the elevator with the woman and she's wearing the game and they're chatting as you do in an elevator sometimes with a coworker. And she's like, what level are you on? He's like, oh, level 4. And she's like, I'm on level 40. You have to not focus and let it happen. And I am like, children are watching this show.
Yes.
Oh, God. This is why I asked my mom what an orgasm was when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it was sisters.
Yeah, and you would have been more like 11.
Yeah, well, whatever. This is the kind of thing.
Right.
And I am all for sex ed for children, but
This is a weird way to go about it.
This is a weird way to go bring it up.
Because, like, you know, then you're like, so what happens to, what happens to your eyes? Like, it's just, it's confusing, the whole thing. It's like there's birds, there's bees, there's aliens, there's...
ocular nerves. Yeah. Headbands.
Who knows? The whole thing is very confusing. Still, to this day, for me.
Though I will say, don't force it is actual good advice.
It is. And just, you know, just... Sometimes let it happen. Sometimes you just gotta let it happen. I mean, not if you don't want it to happen. If you want it to happen, you can let it happen.
No, I'm saying if you want it to happen, you should definitely just, like, let it happen and don't, like, focus on it too hard. Because
yeah, no. Yeah, don't put too much pressure.
Then you start making your grocery list and it's never... Then you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
In the bad way. You're, like, out.
Yeah, and you might as well just, like, go do something else. What are we talking about?
The chase scene.
Right. So after, like, Wesley turns to engineering and they realize they've got Robin. Riker and Worf chase after him, but Wesley's got, like, a plan. He, like, transports himself away to another part of the ship.
Which is it's an apparating in Hogwarts kind of thing where Wesley's rigged something up where he can transport from place to place in the ship, which I don't think you can typically do.
But this is, yeah, no, that's true. He set this all up because he's just very sciencey and knows all about this stuff. But this part is super freaky because basically, like, his whole family has turned on him.
Yeah, and they're all chasing him, like, through the vents.
And after a long chase, they basically catch him and they bring him to the bridge and they force him to play the game.
They sit him down, they clockwork orange him, and they're like, you will masturbate.
Yeah, basically. Everybody he knows is, like, just imagine this. Everybody he knows is holding him down to a chair and forcing his eyes open. And he's, like, trying not to get the disc into the hole. But, like, the game just is basically, like, kind of playing itself. Like, if you try not to do it, it just, like, happens anyway. And suddenly the lights go out and Data walks into the bridge. Holding a strobe light. It basically just, like, flashes them with a strobe light a bunch of times. And I'm just like, so this is when the rave begins. Like, they've all been taking ecstasy for the past, like, several days. And they've just been waiting for the music to start and the lights to go down. And Data finally is like, I'm here.
He's got his glow sticks. Yeah. He's got some pacifiers to pass out. It's like, you guys need to drink some water. They all put up their JNCOs. And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah. No. What it does is it cures them all instantaneously.
Aww.
But I like to think that they were all, like, because this is what would really happen. They were all just, like, really depressed for, like, the next, like, 3 days. Like, they just felt terrible.
Just laid around at home.
Listen
to, like, Morrissey.
Oh, God, why do I do this every weekend?
Oh, man. You feel shitty until Wednesday.
Yeah. So that's basically the episode. Wesley and Leffler have a little, like, semi-tearful makeout goodbye.
They do, but Wesley really, like, torpedoes their relationship by saying, like, what's a couple of light years between good friends? Okay, bye!
Yeah, okay, bye.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Wesley? Well, she's so hot. She's so out of your league.
She's so out of his league. But she also gives him, like, kind of a lame present. Like, she gives him all of her laws, like, in this, like, kind of, like, desktop calendar thing.
Oh, he Rolodex. Tears one off every day.
Yeah, and it's just, like...
He also makes her... She tells him to promise to write, which... Okay.
Don't you have, like, video calling?
You guys can't text?
Well, I don't think text... Like, yeah. Regardless, they did not foresee texting, but I'm sure that... But, like, they talk to people on screens all the time. FaceTime was already a thing.
Yeah.
Like, so... What are you, like... I will say this, like, Ashley Judd is very, very pretty and way out of his league, but she also, you can tell that, like, Leffler's wound kind of tight.
Leffler is a little type A.
Yeah.
She's type A for Wesley.
She has 102 laws about life. That's, like, too many rules.
Yeah.
It's like, 8 too many, at least.
Oh, easy.
But, so, this one really fucked me up, like... I, like, vividly remember, like, this was my pick, as mm-hmm. I'm sure you remember. I'm telling the audience now, they didn't know. Because, like, this was one episode of Star Trek The Next Generation that, like, I remember vividly. And it definitely, because it, like, definitely has roots in, like, some sort of, like, you know, relatively primal fear about, like, all of your tribe turning on you. But also, like, those, like, kind of, like, pod people, Invasion of the Body Snatchers things, where it's just, like, people are taken over by, like, some... unseen force or alien force and replaced, essentially. But it's also kind of like a morality play about, mm-hmm. like, drugs or video games or
sex or something.
It's like all the three of them rolled into one. And it, like, it feels to me like I don't think I necessarily realized it at the time, but it feels to me now like it's kind of like the Jesse's on Diet Pills episode of Saved by the Bell.
It's
but
a little bit after school special.
For Star Trek The Next Generation. But it's also just done really well because, like, it's pretty freaky. Wesley saves the day.
Well, that's quite an excellent summation.
Yeah. Do you got anything?
I mean, this isn't the one that fucked me up.
Right.
The one that fucked me up is the Casino Royale episode.
Okay.
Which we should do sometime. But there may not be enough to talk about. But what basically happens is they beam down to a ship that appears to be a casino from the 20s. And they spin the chair around and they find this, like, mummified dead officer in the chair. And they realize that everyone on the ship is dead.
Oh, yes. I kind of remember
this one. It's a really good one. And it's one of those that reminds me why Star Trek The Next Generation is a great show. Like, that's the kind of thing that sticks in your brain. You know, this show holds up so well.
Yeah, it really does. Some other ones that, like, got me, which... if we need more mini-sode fodder. There's that one where they bring back, like, the ear worm thingy from Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't another thing, like, about, like, people being, their minds being taken over, which I guess is a thing for me.
Yeah.
It's, like, a thing that makes me very uncomfortable.
You know, I have this theory that everybody, like, much like sex, everybody has this thing that gets them in, like, freaky stuff. When it comes to, like, not sexy, freaky stuff, but, like,
well, horror. I mean, people have that, too.
Yeah, they got that, too. But I mean, like, things that are horrifying to them.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse kink. Like, I am very bothered, or enjoy, but I'm also very bothered by, like, haunted houses.
Yeah. I know this about you.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if there's a haunted house movie, I'm like...
let's do this thing.
Let's do this. Let's haunt.
Mine is definitely...
I love real estate and ghosts.
It's like HGTV and ghosts.
Oh, I have a whole idea for that. I'm going to go ahead and give you my show pitch for HGTV. I want this show for real. It's a true crime / HGTV show where you show a house where something horrible has happened, and then you renovate it and sell it. And it's called Murder House Makeovers. And I would watch it 24/7.
I mean, I think with the big upswing in true crime programming popularity, like, this has a shot. I mean, it's a disturbing idea. Very, verily, verily it is. But it's like an ID
HGTV crossover.
Yeah,
special.
It's a good one. I like it. I like it.
Like, call me, either one of you.
Yes,
I'll write for you. I am a professional.
Wait, you are a professional, and I am not. I don't know where I'm going with that, but
you'll watch it.
Yeah, I would watch it. I would totally watch that shit. In any case, should we wrap it up?
Yeah. Well, we should probably talk a little bit about next week.
Next week,
we're going to do it, guys. This is our number one, by my sort of anecdotal count, number one most requested episode. We're going to give you a week to prepare. We're going to talk about Watership Down.
We have reached peak Watership Down requests. So we're finally going to do it. Stop asking.
We want to give the people what they want. And what they want is murder bunnies.
Murder bunnies.
Bunnies at war. So yes. Watership Down is next week. I've never seen it. Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it.
Neither of us ever seen it. So we're looking forward to discussing it and having our minds blown.
Pretty much. This is what we've been told will happen. And if you were wrong, shame on you.
I've seen a lot of shit.
And if this doesn't just top them all, I'm going to be...
mildly annoyed.
Vaguely disappointed. Vaguely.
So you talked it up and we're going to try and deliver.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Me too. Other stuff, you can email us at suggestions@traumatizedpodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @traumatizedcast. I think that that's all. You can, you know, leave us a review. I think Jason may have covered off on that this earlier in the episode.
I really want reviews. Please, we really need it.
We also want some sponsors.
Yeah.
So we got to get reviews before we get sponsors.
We got to get the reviews. We got to get the people to get the sponsors. Then you get the money.
Jason has a kid to send to college, guys.
I do. And I need that sweet, sweet Blue Apron money.
I'm wearing a Movement watch right now.
I need MeUndies. Yeah.
But until next week.
Until then.
Until that massive success comes upon us.
I'm Jason Apple.
And I'm Erin Ridgway. And we are traumatized.